for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2018 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday morning, May the 25th, 2018, Frank Marzullo Jr. is the speaker of this service, teaching on the do's and don'ts of the deliverance ministry.
My name is Frank Marzullo Jr., and I actually didn't understand what I was going to do until I came up this morning and the Lord showed me which direction to go in. I have been noticing, and maybe you have too, that the Holy Spirit is doing something in your life.
Amen.
And I noticed also too in a vision, a dream before, as I was getting ready for this lesson, about the sower and the seed and the hard ground, and how the seed fell on hard ground and the birds came and ate it. And that passage in the Bible has given us an idea of what happens when we have a hard heart. The soil is actually, they're talking about the soil, your heart, on receiving the Word of God. And if you've come here with traumatic things that have happened to you, things that have turned your life upside down, a lot of people that could not make it, the leaders were kind of knocked out of the equation here. The woman leaders, Jerry McGee, Carlo Batod, those leaders got knocked out. Randy, where's Randy? Is Randy still in here? No. His wife got knocked out. All because of sickness or affliction or some sort of thing happening to him. The enemy wanted to keep you away from this meeting. And he made a lot of things happen in your life. Car accidents. Trying to take your life. All sorts of things were happening. And a lot of us came here with things that had happened to us along the way. Or our ground, our heart, has been hardened through the tragedies and the situations of life. And I really believe that God wants to crack open, if you will, that hard ground. And He's doing it a little at a time. You received a lot of deliverance last night and this morning at the prayer meeting. There was a lot. I was watching as people were getting set free. And the vision that the Lord gave me was that a worker went out in the field with a pick in his hand, and he was picking at the hard ground. And then another worker was coming behind him with a sprinkle can, sprinkling the ground that was broken up. And then a third worker was dropping seeds in. And then a fourth worker was pouring water into the ground that was chipped up. I believe that is a vision of what is happening in this group here this week. That the things you may have closed over the ground and it became hard in your life, that the Holy Spirit is coming with a pickaxe and He's breaking it up so that the seed could go into the ground. Hear me now, folks. God is healing you spiritually this week. Receive that word in your spirit that God is healing you. Do not close your ears to what you've been hearing and listening to. Do not harden your heart over that. Let the Holy Spirit teach you something new, something brand new this week. Now, I'm going to be teaching to you today And as I'm doing that, open your hearts. Open your hearts. Some of you have been in ministry for a long time. Some of you know what to do, know how to cast demons out. Some of you, for the first time, have come here and are experiencing this firsthand. Somebody told you about it. Well, let me tell you about it. Mark 16:17, these signs shall follow those that believe. Who's a believer here? Okay. This is something that is supposed to follow you. You're a believer. Now, I'm going to talk to you about the do's and the don'ts for the deliverance ministry. Uh-oh. I've been in the ministry a very, very long time. May of 1977 is when I got saved. I went right into it. So I've been doing deliverance for a long time, and I've done a lot of ministry that is repetitious and over and over and over again. I've written some books concerning what my experiences are. You'll find that on the little book table thing here. Right in the middle, where there's a big crack, my books run right down the center line there. So I know where they're at. And I'm watching you. Well, I've learned along the way some of the things to do and some of the things not to do. I've watched TV evangelists, and I've watched people in the ministry, prophets, and so forth and so on, and what they do, what they should not be doing. And it's okay to judge, family. It's okay to judge. The Bible says, judge not, lest ye be judged. Well, guess what? We're supposed to judge. We're supposed to know, we're supposed to judge false prophets. Amen?
Amen.
So we're supposed to be discerning enough to understand what a false prophet is. What does that mean? Well, you judge them by their fruits. You don't judge the person, but you judge them by their fruits. And so I've come to understand in the deliverance ministry that there are some people that need to be brought back into line a little bit. And this is what you're here for. You're here for a college course, basically. You've received ministry. Now you're receiving teaching and instruction from the Holy Spirit. Now you say, well, I don't know if I agree with 100% of what you're saying. That's okay. My dad used to say, eat the meat and spit out the bones. Amen?
Amen.
And so we're going to do that. We're going to eat the meat and spit out the bones. I'll tell you, if there's something that you don't agree with, catch me later on. Don't challenge me now. This is not a debate. This is a teaching. So you can catch me later. We'll talk about it. Why is the deliverance ministry so important? What is this? And we started this meeting off. Nikki started it off with repentance. He started talking about repentance. And then Randy Ritchie, that guy right there, the troublemaker, just walked in the door. He started talking about repentance. And I want you, do you have your Bibles with you? I want you to turn to Matthew. So why is deliverance so important? Well, as we're doing deliverance, we're cleaning house, we're getting rid of stuff. We're getting rid of attitudes, we're getting rid of demons that have attached themselves. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. So there's going to be people that are going to say on that day when they stand before God, I call you Lord. And Jesus is saying, these are the words of Jesus Christ, and he's saying, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everybody that calls Jesus Lord has an entrance into heaven. Watch this now. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And I've seen preachers stop right there and bring a salvation message, saying the will of the Father is that everyone comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the will of the Father. Very well and true. But the thing is that they stop. They don't go further with it. Let's read on. Many will say to me in that day, many. Everybody say many.
Many.
Wow. Look through the congregation. Many will say to me on that day, oh, isn't that a little scary? Isn't that a little scary? Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? How many are prophets here? Okay. And in thy name cast out devils. How many cast out devils?
Amen.
And in thy name done many wonderful works. How many have prayed for people and things happen and wonderful works happen? Here's the scary part. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, workers of iniquity. That's scary. So we have people who believed that they were going to have entrance into the kingdom of God because they called him Lord. Romans 10:9 says that if you believe in your heart Jesus Christ and confess with your mouth that God raised him from the dead, that shall be saved. And they believe, and that's true. That's true. That's the beginning of salvation. But there is also this passage, too. What do you do with this? Well, you marry them together. That's what you do.
Yeah.
So, just as Romans 10:9 is true, so is Matthew 7:21. So we have to find out, okay, well, I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, my God, my Savior. And I've cast demons out. And I've done many wonderful works in his name. So what's the big deal here, God? How come I can't get in? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. So Jesus is basing the entrance into the kingdom of heaven on what? How we handle iniquity in our life. Guess what the devils want to do? They want to hold you to iniquity. That's what they want to do. The devils want to hold you to iniquity until that day that you stand before God. That's why deliverance is important. That's why we cast demons out. Oh, you could hear a pin drop in here. That's why it's important to get your spirit, your soul cleansed. Don't be hard ground. Don't be hard ground. Let the Word of God come in, penetrate. Don't be so sophisticated that you walk out of here with your demons. Let the Holy Spirit shine His light, His lamp, through you and expose the darkness that is in you, the iniquities that are in you, and then deal with it. Cast it out. It's okay. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. Days and days and days, my Father cast demons out of me. Days and days. As I went along life, days and days, I got demons cast out of me. I got hands laid on me. It's okay. Let it be done. But don't get to the end of the game and you find out that you're disqualified when Jesus says, I never knew you. But I knew you, Lord! But Jesus says, I never knew you. You practiced. That's the key word, practiced iniquity. And the iniquity is a very unusual word. Iniquity means wickedness, immorality, impurity, vice, evil, sin, criminality. Oh, criminality. Our jails are full of crime and criminality, obscenity, wrongdoing. That's what I looked up the word. Iniquity, what it meant. We have iniquity, sin, and transgression that comes right down through the family line. We have things that we seem to be doing that our ancestors have done. And there's many teachings on generational curses. But I want you to understand that there's many different manifestations of evil in your life. But I broke it down to four ways. I'm going to teach on that tomorrow about the same time. I'm going to teach about the four ways the enemy can get in and how you break it down, all these things, all these sins, transgressions, iniquities, how they can come into your family line and come right down into you. But today I'm going to teach you on the do's and the don'ts of the deliverance ministry, because it's important that we get the devil out. Okay? We get the devil out, man. And so, sometimes we give the devil more power to harm us because of our own fear. The Bible says he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And I tell you what, there's plenty of topics on fear on books scattered throughout the whole meeting place. So he roars and he scares us and he tries to frighten us. One time when I was a kid, I took my father's car and I went down to a place called Crandon Park, and it was down in Key Biscayne. It was a really sandy kind of beachy area, and I got my car stuck in the sand. Well, they have the Crandon Park Zoo there, and I could hear the lions roaring. I could hear them. You know, I wasn't far away. They were all in cages, thank God. But I could hear the roaring from the zoo, and I was stuck there all night. I was stuck there with mosquitoes. I couldn't roll the windows down because of the mosquitoes. And it was tough. I was listening to lions roaring all night long. And I was terrified. I was a young guy. I couldn't dig my car out. I called my brother to come and help me. He says, "I'm sleeping. I'll see you in the morning." And I spent the whole night there listening to roaring lions. So when I read this passage, 1 Peter 5:8, that the devil roars to scare, you know, he's seeking whom he may devour. And I tell you, when we are under fear, we're under that type of spirit. The roaring lion. And that's what he does, is he puts such fear in us. Jesus taught his disciples 3.5 years to do a ministry, to heal and to deliver. He sent his disciples out without pieces. Don't be afraid, go out and do this. And he sent them out to go heal and deliver. Who's the disciple here? Come on, I want to see more hands. We're disciples. So we're sent out to go heal and deliver. We're to lay hands on the sick and to recover. We're to cast demons out. So he taught the believers to do that. Now, Luke 10:19, for those of you who don't know this, Luke 10:19 says, Jesus says, "Behold, I give you
power over
the power of the
enemy
and
nothing."
Say that again.
Nothing
by any means shall harm you. So when you see deliverance happening, he's given us power over the enemy, and nothing shall harm you. So he gives us that power to go out and do that. And in the Old Testament, there's a shadow of a man who was called by God to be a leader, and his name was Jeremiah. This is what Jeremiah, what God told Jeremiah, and Jeremiah 1, chapter 7 through 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Now, when you go out and become a man or woman of God and you start speaking the word of God to somebody, this is the word of God in your mouth. When God gives you a word, see, this day I've set you over nations to what? Root out, pull down, destroy, throw down, to build and to plant. That's the deliverance ministry. Hello? That's what we do. We root out, we pull down, we destroy, we throw down, and then what do? We lay hands on to build and to plant. That's what the restoration ministry is. You lay hands on, you pray for people, they're restored. So Jeremiah was a forerunner of the deliverance minister for today. I want you to understand that. How many here have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues? Let me see. So there's some in here that have not. I want you to see me after this meeting. All right? So there's some here, and it's okay that you admit to that. That's fine. Let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit. He wants to give gifts. He wants to give you the gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:4, there are diversity of gifts with the same Spirit. And there are different activities. And then he goes on to verse 8, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8. And here are the gifts. You ready? One is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, workings of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing, come on, to each one individually as He wills. But I want this gift, Lord. Well, the Lord says, but I want you to have this gift, right? As He wills. You may get this gift over here, but He certainly has this gift over here for you, the other side. And He wants you to understand that. That's the first thing in the deliverance ministry, is that you be filled with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Everybody can cast demons out, I tell you what, but you have more power, more understanding when you are filled with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on to, we find out in the Bible that God gives gifts and ministries in the same way. Paul writes a couple of chapters over, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. This is 1 Corinthians 4:1. So we have a desire for the spiritual gifts. I tell people to, when they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, to lean into that gift. Let the Holy Spirit teach you about the gift and desire the gift, but it is the Holy Spirit who gives the gift. Remember that. You may want hands laid on you for a specific gift, but it's not that. It doesn't work that way. It works the way that the Holy Spirit is the giver of gifts. Okay, family? So with that in mind, I want to talk about the do's and the don'ts for the ministry of deliverance. And Luke 14. I don't hear any pages turning. I mean, maybe this is the electronic age. I don't know. Luke 14, verse 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? At least after he has laid the foundations, not able to finish it. And all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to war, against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he has enough with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. You see, there's a thought process that goes on when you get into ministry. You have to consider the cost of what it's going to cost you involved in the ministry. Do I have enough of what Jeremiah spoke about? Do I have enough to pull down, to pluck out, to root out? Do I have enough to do that? And so you have to ask yourself these questions. And I've met many people who started into ministry and found out that they just don't have enough to finish the work of God. And they make a fool out of themselves. I've seen that happen. So I want you to sit down before you start saying, oh, I'm going to go over here and do this type of ministry and that ministry. Before you do that, you first consider the cost. Get the gift from the Holy Spirit, then you consider the cost of what it's going to be. And wait for the door to open. Don't try to push the door open yourself. Don't try to be the minister, the great and wonderful Wizard of Oz, if you will. Don't try to do that. Just wait for the Holy Spirit to come and He'll open the door for you for ministry to happen. He'll make a way for your gift. Number one, go through deliverance yourself. And that's what you're doing here this week. You're going through deliverance. You're getting prepared. God is preparing you for something. I was talking with a brother earlier. When I was starting to get prepared, I was starting to get messages from God, and I started writing them down. And I actually compiled a little booklet of my messages before I even went out and did my first ministry trip. I started writing them down. But first, I got a lot of deliverance. And Jesus says in Matthew 10:7-8, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Guess what? I don't charge anybody for deliverance. Freely I have received, freely I give. When people call me on the telephone and need help, they need deliverance, I give it to them freely. I know that there are pastors and ministers out there that charge X amount of dollars for a session here and there. But I don't see that in the Word of God. I see this. Freely you have received, freely give. And I tell you what, God knows my needs. I don't, like I say, I don't charge anything. But I'll open up the mailbox and there will be a check. $500, $5,000, $15,000. You know, and I don't charge anybody because people have benefited from the ministry of deliverance, and they can't get it anywhere else. Call after call. I've tried this church. My church doesn't do it. My pastor doesn't do it. Blah, 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 blah. Well, they get it. They get it freely. And they're grateful. And so that's how God handles my bills. Just to let you know. You can make the check out to Frank Marzullo. Number two, be baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Go through deliverance, be baptized, number two, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria, unto the remote part of the earth. That's Jesus speaking. And he says, you shall receive power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Some people want the power, and they want the prestige, and they want the notoriety. They want to be seen. And you can find that in Acts chapter 8. When Simon the sorcerer was in the city, the whole city was saved and cast. Demons were being cast out by Philip the evangelist. And here he is. He's watching all this. He was the great musician, the great power of God before the disciples came, before Philip came. And then he sees people being saved and baptized, and he himself was saved and baptized, as the Word of God said. But he saw something. Guess what? He saw power. And he wanted to purchase that when the apostles came from Jerusalem to lay hands on the people to receive the Holy Spirit. It had not fallen on them yet. They'd just been baptized. So here they receive power. And he says, I want that. I was known as the great man of God, the power of God before these guys came to town. I'm going to be called that again when they leave. So some people have an ulterior motive for receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit because they want the power. If that's you, confess that as sin right now and say, Lord, forgive me. I don't want that. Because Peter says, you perish with your silver. You try to purchase this. There is a consequence for looking for power. But I tell you what, look for Jesus. Jesus is the author and finisher of your life. Look to Him and to Him alone. Power. But we want the power of the Holy Spirit because we want to do the work of the Holy Spirit because we want to witness about Jesus. That's the reason why. That's our motive, is we want to witness. So, number one, power. Number two, witness. That's what you desire because you have the right motive of heart. Number three, working with the gifts given to you. Number one was go through deliverance yourself. Number two, be baptized in the Holy Spirit for the evidence of speaking in tongues. Number three, working with the gifts given to you. Now, that's important. A lot of people try to work outside of the gift of the Holy Spirit and they fall flat on their face. So try working in the gift that the Holy Spirit gave you. But I don't want that gift, Brother Frank. Well, work in it, because God will bring you to kings if you are obedient and you open your heart to working with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Number four, have a servant's heart. Number four, have a servant's heart. Matthew 20, verse 26. Whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. You want to work for the Lord? Have a servant's heart. That's the way. Have a servant's heart. Matthew 23:11. But the greatest among you shall be your servant. Have a servant's heart. Number five. I gave you number four, have a servant's heart. Number five, be uncompromising with the enemy. In this deliverance setting, you're going to be dealing with issues in your life. And as the Holy Spirit is shining a light on certain areas of your life, and you say, wait a second, I don't want to give up that. I don't want to give up that. Well, that's what's going to hold you back. That will be a bridge for the demons to come back into your life. You may have had hours and hours of deliverance here, and you say, I don't want to get rid of that. And so you hold on to it. That demon becomes a bridge back in for the other demons to come into your life. Show no mercy to them. Totally destroy them, as they did in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, with the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, the greater nations. God delivers them over to you, and He's delivering these demons over to you to destroy them. To totally destroy them, annihilate them, utterly destroy them. And he says, you shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. Don't give in to that. Don't give in to the demon that is holding. One time I was praying for a lady, and I was casting demons out of her, and I smelled cigarette smoke on her. And so I started to cast out nicotine. And she says, no, I enjoyed that one. I enjoyed that one. Don't make a covenant with them. Hate what God hates, Psalm 139, verse 21. Hate what God hates. God hates demons. Say that with me. God hates demons. Glory. And, you know, sometimes I ask people, how you doing, brother? How you doing, sister?
I'm so glad the devil's after me.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm being attacked.
Okay, it's time to pull up your big boy, big girl pants now. The Bible says, so you got to go back to the Bible. The Bible says, in Psalm 118, verse 11, they surround me, yes, they surround me, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them.
Amen.
Okay, so big deal. The devil's after you. The devil's surrounding you. They surround me, yep. They surround me, yes. But in the name of the Lord, I shall destroy them. The name of the Lord is Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, I command you to come out. And that's your attitude in spiritual warfare. So we're to totally destroy them, not to make a covenant with them, not to compromise with them. On the back bookshelf there, I've got a canceling Satan's contracts and assignments. I was ministering, this is a little booklet. There was a man that called me up. He had depression. And he was calling me up for prayers for depression. And as I started to cast the spirit of the depression out, anxiety, fear, as I was starting to go down the checklist in my mind of all these evil spirits that are associated with depression, I could hear him scream out at the other end of the phone, "I have a contract!" The devil was speaking. And I stopped the ministry and I said, sir, who in your family has been involved in false religions and occultism, either or? And the man said, well, that would be my mom and my ancestors, they got involved in Jehovah's Witness. And they drew me into it too. And so, you see, a lot of times demons will speak out of people and they'll tip their hand. They'll tip their hand as to what's really going on. And so this person was tipping his hand, the demon was. And what, is this on? Yeah. I have a contract. So, of course, I found out, and I canceled. The Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. So they have another God, another gospel. False God, false gospel. That had to be broken, and the lie had to be cast out first, and then I was able to minister to him. But don't make a compromise with the devil. Don't make a compromise. Number six. Know that God has called you into the deliverance ministry. If he hasn't called you, I mean, we're all called to be to heal and to cast demons out. But there are those that are specifically designed by God to be deliverance ministers. Hello? Listen, how many here are prophets? I'm not going to be a prophet because that's not my calling. My calling is deliverance ministry. Although I can prophesy. We're all called to prophesy. Right? So I stay within, you know, when you're driving on the highway, you stay within your lane. right? And so I stay within my lane. And very effectively, God has brought me to where I'm supposed to be. And that's what I'm saying to you. Know that God has called you into the deliverance ministry if you're supposed to be a deliverance minister. If you're supposed to be a prophet, be a prophet. If you're supposed to be a teacher, be a teacher. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, number 7. Have compassion. In the deliverance ministry, you're supposed to have compassion. I hate the devil. I hate the demons. But I have compassion on people just like Jesus had compassion on people. Many years ago, I used to be a City of Miami Beach policeman. Uh-oh, now you're mad at me. And I used to ride the squad car, I used to foot patrol, I was detective bureau, I was motorcycles, I was a number of things within the department. But I started losing my compassion for people. Because all I was ever called to, or to investigate, was bad and hard things that people did against each other. And I started losing my compassion for people. And it took me a while after I left the department and became a Christian to get this compassion back. And I was reading in Luke chapter 10 about how Jesus talks about the Levite and the Samaritan, how there was no compassion there. And it was the Samaritan, excuse me, that took him in, put him on his donkey, took him over to the inn and had him bound up and bandaged, anointed him with oil, gave the innkeeper money. That guy had compassion. And I said, I want that. I want that for my enemies. I want to be able to say to my enemy, I have compassion towards you. And that's what it took. It took a while for me to get compassion back. So number 7, it might be that God is working on you to get your compassion back. As a Christian, we could become hard-hearted and stiff-necked in some of the things of life. So work on this. Lord, give me compassion for people like you had compassion for people. Work on that. Micah 6:8, write this down. Put this on your refrigerator. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. So we're to love mercy. I hate the demons. I cast them out in the name of Jesus. But I have mercy and compassion for people. Because the Word of God instructs me, and because my Lord Jesus had compassion, and He taught me. And that's what we're supposed to do, have that compassion. Number 8, develop a listening ear. Listen to what people are saying in between the lines. Listen, read between those lines and into the person's life and to the events of their life. Why is that person so desperate? Why is that person so torn up? Why is that person in such a way? I had a note in my prayer basket when I was having prayer meetings in my home. The note said, I am so depressed. I don't know what to do. I recently found Jesus. I committed a sin. I got arrested. I'm having another man's baby other than my husband's. My father told me I'd burn in hell forever. I'm so depressed, I don't know what to do. Have compassion. This woman's life, the course of her life was set on fire by words, by actions. And she didn't know what to do. Please pray for me. That's all the note said. Wow. In this ministry, you will hear some of the most horrendous things. And you're supposed to have compassion, not to get a hard heart. Develop a listening ear. Listen to what is actually being said behind the lines. That's number 8. Number 9, be flexible in a variety of techniques. Number 9, be flexible in a variety of techniques. How much time do I have? Another half an hour?
Yeah. Hello.
Okay. Psalm 144, verse 1. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Everybody lift your hands up. These are hands for war and the fingers for battle. How? Let's show. Let me show you how. I've learned to pull out because my dad taught me some things. And I've learned along the way. I've learned to pull out fiery darts of the enemy. I've watched him do that. And people recoil back because of there's something being invisibly torn out of their back. Fiery darts of the enemy. So his hands, are trained for war. And his fingers for battle. One time, a young lady came up with her husband and a child and wanted prayer at the prayer line. Why? Well, he's an unruly child. I thought they were all unruly children. No, but he's unruly. And I said, okay, I command. And I pointed. And when I did, the child recoiled like I shot it. I command in the name of Jesus, you, rebellion, come out in Jesus' name. And I pointed. And so I learned how to do that when I pray for people. If they're having pain, I point, can I use you as an example, sir? I point to the shoulder if they're having pain. I point to the stomach if they're having pain in the stomach. If they are having migraine headaches, I point to the pain. And so I point. I'm learning how to use my hands for war and my fingers for battle. And I encourage you to do the same. Number 10, search for root causes. Very important. As a deliverance minister, search for root causes. I mean, we could spend hours and hours and hours of casting demons out. We could spend, I can call demons out until the cows come home. I'm telling you, I've learned to find the root causes. Find out what is at work. I mean, we could do this, and I'm going to teach you, this is what I'm going to teach you tomorrow, the 4 ways where the enemy can get in. You can purchase that book for $1,000,000,000. So, I don't know what godzillion is. How much is $1,000,000,000? Yeah? Okay. And it's found on that bookcase over there. It's called 4 Ways the Enemy Can Get In. I search for root causes. I don't spend a lot of time in deliverance anymore because I get them to make me 4 sheets of paper. I want people to give me 4 sheets of paper. I want their sins, their ancestors' sins, and anybody that sinned against them, such as a word curse. Number 1, sin. Number 2 is rejection. I want all the people that wounded them, hurt them, mistreated them, abandoned them, abused them, as another second list. Number 3, the third list, on what the lies that the enemy spoke to them that they actually believe. I can't drive on the highway. I can't swim in the ocean because of the sharks. I can't get in an elevator. I can't do this. I don't have the capability of learning a computer. All the stupid lies that the devil speaks to us that we believe. Number 4, unforgiveness. I want a list of people that they have grudged or held a grudge against or hurt them or wounded them. Because these are the four ways that the enemy can get in, has legal right to get into our life. And so I'll be teaching on that tomorrow. But search for the root causes. John the Baptist said, Matthew 3:10, "And even now the axe is laid at the root of the trees, therefore every tree which does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." At the root, find out the root. You want to know, the fruit's going to grow back unless you get to the root. So you want to find out the root. Number 11, use the sword of the Spirit when ministering. This is the Word of God. Jesus used the Word of God against the devil. He quoted Scripture to the devil. Guess what? The devil quoted Scripture back to him. The devil knows the Word. But you've got to know the Word. So, Ephesians 6:17 says, "Take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." By the way, family, this is not the Word of God for you to use against a brother or sister. This is the sword of the Holy Spirit, who cleaves you open in deliverance and in healing and in ministering to you. This is the sword of the Holy Spirit. So we find that Jesus, like I said, he spoke in Matthew 4:4, "It is written," and the devil took him up and did it again. And in Matthew 4:7, Jesus responded back, "It is written." And he 4:10, "It is written." So learn what is written and use that in deliverance. Use it in deliverance. Number 12, believe not every spirit. And number 12, believe not every spirit. You can also buy the tape here for gazillion dollars.
What was number 11?
Use the sword of the Spirit in ministry. Makes me feel important. I knew I came here for a reason. Thank you, Father. So, number 12. Believe not every spirit. So many Christians are battered by the lies of the enemy, and that's one of the ways that I talk about in this book, will be tomorrow's teaching. That you'll never amount to anything, you'll never be anything, you'll never achieve this, you'll never do that. And they believe the lie. When you believe the lie of the devil, it becomes a reality to you, and then demons are assigned. So, believe not every spirit. Don't listen to what they're saying to you as if it's true information. The devil's a liar. And Randy Ritchie talked about it the other day. He's the father of lies. John 8:44. So he's a liar. The devil is a liar. Tell him he's a liar. When you start believing the spirit that is speaking to you. We're to believe only the Holy Spirit. And in the deliverance ministry, trust only the Holy Spirit. John 14:17, the Spirit of Truth. He's called the Spirit of Truth. John 15:26, the Spirit of Truth. John 16:13, the Spirit of Truth. Oh boy, I tell you, you know, when it's written and here many times, then you have to understand that it's confirmed. The Spirit of Truth. So when I try to, I used to try to gain information from the devils that were speaking out of people, I don't anymore because that's divination. And what I do is I speak to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth. And I say, "Lord, I've come to the end. I don't know exactly what to do here. Holy Spirit, show me. And He reveals every time, 100%, He reveals the truth. Seven generations back, Father's side, witchcraft. You know, He'll start downloading into you, like, I don't know, if you're familiar with computers, you start all of a sudden, you start getting downloads and downloads, and the whole thing becomes really clear to you. Learn to speak to the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, I'm stumped. I need your help. And this deliverance ministry, it's okay to do that. Okay? Number 13. Here's a people fail in the deliverance ministry. I better run pretty quick here. Number 13. And they fail because of number 13. Immaturity. Immaturity. Don't be in a rush to get into this ministry. This is, remember, I'm talking about the do's and the don'ts of the deliverance ministry. Don't be in a rush to get into it and establish yourself and get your business cards made up and so forth and so on. Don't be in a rush to get into this. I've seen a lot of people fall because they're a novice. And an example of that is 1 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 6. One of the qualifications of a minister. Verse 6. Not a novice being puffed up, that he may fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Notice that a novice could fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Number 14, they fail because they're dirty vessels themselves. Well, that's why we're doing deliverance. We're getting cleaned up. Number 15, know that you're called without a question into this type of ministry when you do deliverance. Like I say, we're all called to do deliverance, but there are some who are to be deliverance ministers. And they have, and I'm going to share you the gifts that they're supposed to have. They have discerning of spirits, not suspicion, but discerning of spirits. They have that as a gift. They have word of knowledge as a gift. They have prophecy as a gift. And you'll find that deliverance ministers need those three gifts, those three gifts of the Holy Spirit. And they operate in that. So know that you've been called into the ministry. Know that what your gifts are. Number 16, do it in a biblical fashion. Deliverance is to be done in a biblical fashion. We saw that in Luke chapter 13. There's a woman who was bent double with a spirit of infirmity. Does everybody know what a spirit of infirmity is? It could be any sickness, any disease, any illness. It could be heart attacks, it could be stroke, it could be diabetes, it could be anything. This woman had a spirit of infirmity. She had a physical ailment, though, that was obvious to everybody. She was doubled over, could not straighten up at all. And everybody, look at me. Get the picture? Jesus recognized that as a spirit of infirmity. Does everybody that's doubled over like that have that spirit of infirmity? No. But that one did. That one had a problem with a spirit. So Jesus says, woman, thou art loosed. And He sets her free. That's deliverance. Then He lays hands on her. And then He prays for her healing. And that's a biblical example of what we're to do. First, discern, spirit. Second, lay hands on. Third, pray for healing. Then we see another example found in Acts chapter 16, verse 18. Paul is greatly annoyed as this young woman, divinator, is walking behind him saying, these are the men of the Most High God, listen to them. what she was saying was truth, but what was coming out of her came from a demonic source. It was truth. The devil could, produce truth too, but, it was demonically inspired. This annoyed Paul. And Paul turned around, greatly annoyed, says in Acts chapter 16, verse 18, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. That's the only biblical example of a way to do deliverance. I command you. What? I have authority? Yes, you do. I have power? Yes, you do. Luke 10:19. And he says, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And the demon did. And that's the way we're to follow the biblical examples of deliverance. And I don't believe in the throwing on of salt. I don't believe on the throwing on of water. I don't believe on any of that stuff except for what the Bible says and how to do deliverance. Okay, now, let's do some deliverance. What do you say? We've got about 15 minutes here.
Take as long as you need.
Okay. You said I could take till tomorrow.
If that's what it takes.
Here we go. I'm going to do some deliverance. Thank you, Father God. First of all, remember that what I'm going to talk about tomorrow, too, is about the generational curses and how the demons come in that way. But we're going to take care of that today as well. I find that when given the opportunity to do ministry, never pass up how the pathway in which the demons can enter into a person's life. Say this week, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
you are my God and my Savior.
You are my God and my Savior.
You are the only way to the Father.
You
set me free.
Your
name sets me free. I am covered by your blood. It is your precious blood that has given me eternal life.
Thank you, Lord.
That blood destroyed the works of the devil. And I appropriate the blood of Jesus Christ against my enemies
to destroy them.
I bind every generational curse, every demon assigned to it. Through my father's side,
through
my mother's side,
all the way back to Adam and Eve.
I say to those demons, your contract is void and powerless because of Galatians 3:13. Jesus became the curse for me and hung on the tree. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, I bind every spirit that came in through my generational line that brings disease, calamity, illness, death, temptation, all fleshly desires. I bind them, and I command them out of me now, in the name of Jesus Christ. Take a deep breath and blow out. Go, in the name of Jesus. That's okay. You may feel like coughing, burping, yawning, an expression of the breath, because breath, and the same Greek word is pneuma, for breath, pneuma, for spirit. So as you're expelling some form of breath, it could be that a demon is leaving you at this point. That's okay. By the way, don't be concerned about what's going on next to you. Concerned about what's going on in you.
Please.
Remember, God has cracked the ground. Somebody's picking at it. Amen?
Amen.
And it's the Holy Spirit He's coming around with a pickaxe, and he's picking that ground. And he wants to drop in the seed of the deliverance. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I command out of me every spirit that entices me, harasses me, tortures me, torments me, compels me, enslaves
me,
addicts me, defiles
me.
I command you to come out of me in the name of Jesus Christ. Take a deep breath and blow out. Go in the name of Jesus. Get out. Go. Go.
Yeah.
Out in the name of Jesus. I bind every spirit that attaches to my flesh, to my emotions, to my intellect. I command the spirit of abandonment, rejection, feeling forsaken, neglected, hurt, cast aside, cast away, widowed, orphaned, unloved, unwanted. I command those demons out of me now. In the name of Jesus. I want you to take a deep breath and blow out. Go! In the name of Jesus. Go! Out! In Jesus' name. As I'm calling these spirits out, the Holy Spirit may be giving you a picture, an impression of where this came from. I could be calling it something else, neglected, hurts. And you're thinking of Aunt Bessie, or you're thinking of Uncle Tom, or you're thinking of somebody that wounded you and hurt you. And that's the entrance point. That's where the enemy came in. All right? Do you see it? I command out of me every spirit of accident, calamity, entry, mishap, catastrophe, misfortune, loss, poverty, I command out of me in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath and blow out. Go in the name of Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. That's right. All these impressions, all these things that you're starting to feel, go, oh, gee, Frank, I know where that came in at now. That's right. Now you know. I command out of me
every spirit
of hatred, finger pointing, accusation, suspicion, fault finding, jealousy, envy, bitterness. Come out of me in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath and blow out. Go in the name of Jesus. Come out in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, come out.
Go, 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 go.
I command out of me
every spirit
of addiction, compulsion,
alcohol,
the god of drunkenness,
intoxication,
drugs,
illegal drugs,
and legal drugs,
nicotine,
caffeine,
sugar,
TV.
I command out of me
all food cravings,
chronic illness,
chronic lying,
credit card debt,
abuse,
female dependency,
male dependency,
fighting,
gambling,
addicted to money,
overeating,
addicted to pain,
physical abuse.
I command all spirits,
light spirits,
out of me now,
in the name of Jesus.
Name of Jesus.
Take a deep breath and blow out. Go in the name of Jesus. Come out in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Whether it be addiction to TV videos, the sports, I command that spirit out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Addiction. Addiction that has a grip on you. All forms of addiction that have a grip on you. Go in Jesus' name. Spirits, go in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
I command out of me
the
spirits of Antichrist.
False teaching.
Error.
Blasphemy.
Arrested development. Spirits that hinder me from growing up in the Lord. I command them out of me, all blocking spirits,
all
immaturity,
obstruction,
personality,
influence
of foolishness.
Come out of me
in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath, blow out. Go in Jesus' name. Antichrist, leave in Jesus' name. Anti-growth, leave in the name of Jesus. Come out. Out in the name of Jesus. Out in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I command out of me the spirit of attention getting.
Attention seeking.
That's right. Some people go from deliverance ministry to deliverance ministry to deliverance ministry, and they want the attention. The devil wants the attention, and so he puts these people, makes them jump through hoops to get the attention. Say, I command that spirit.
I command that spirit.
Attention seeking.
Attention seeking.
Attention getting.
Attention getting.
Play acting.
Play acting.
Lying.
Lying.
Spirits of spiritual blindness.
Spirits of spiritual blindness.
Heaviness. False burden.
False burden.
Calamity.
Calamity.
That's right. Calamity. Come out of me.
Come out of me.
Worldliness.
Worldliness.
Lasciviousness.
Lasciviousness.
Immorality.
Immorality.
Contempt.
Contempt.
Fighting.
Fighting.
Fraud.
Fraud.
Come out of me.
Come out of me.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Take a deep breath and blow out. Go in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Let that last one sink in. Fraud. We want to be truthful in everything. We want to be truthful to the Holy Spirit. We're not playing games. We get to the end of our life and God says, I never knew you who practice iniquity. He's not looking for people who are going to play a game. This is not a game. The game is the devil loses. That's the game. That's all he does. He loses. He surrounds me. Yes, he surrounds me. But in the name of the Lord, I will destroy thee. I will destroy him.
Yes.
How about this? Some people seem to be hindered and blocked all the time. In the name of Jesus, I command out of me every spirit that blocks me, hinders
me,
obstructs me,
that
says to me.
Now
listen to the lies of the devil. Here's what the devil is saying. And he says it to you. And if you believe it, it becomes truth to you. Here's the lies that he speaks to us. No love. No friend. No help. Come on. No love. No friends. No help. No success. No lodging.
No
pity. No understanding.
No
wisdom.
No wisdom.
No relief.
No relief.
Constant torment.
Constant torment.
No rest.
No rest.
No solution.
No solution.
No power.
No power.
No ability.
No ability.
No light.
No light.
Always darkness.
Always darkness.
No healing.
No healing.
No deliverance.
No deliverance.
No happiness.
No happiness.
No joy.
No joy.
No victory.
No victory.
No control.
No control.
No future.
No future.
Hopelessness.
Hopelessness.
No liberty.
No liberty.
No discernment.
No discernment.
No prosperity.
No prosperity.
No breakthrough.
No breakthrough.
No direction.
No direction.
No open doors.
No open.
No money.
No money.
No job.
No job.
No anointing.
No anointing.
No blessing.
No blessing.
No communication.
No communication.
No growth.
No
support.
No support.
No morals.
No morals.
No escape.
No escape.
No commitment.
No commitment.
No self-control.
No self-control.
No opportunity.
No opportunity.
No family.
No family.
No transportation.
No transportation.
No
nobility.
No nobility.
No breakthrough.
No breakthrough. No time.
No time.
No room.
No room.
No strength.
No strength.
No home.
No home.
No vision.
No vision.
And if the devil says that to you, say this: devil, you're a liar. Say it again.
Devil, you're a liar.
Every demon,
every demon
that you assigned to me,
that
said no to me,
I
command you out of me.
I command you out of me.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Everyone take a deep breath and blow out. Go! Out in the name of Jesus! Devil, you're a liar! Heavenly Father, I pray right now that you bless these people with healing and deliverance completely. And Lord, where the enemy has come into their life, that you come in, O Lord, as a flood, a standard against them. Those demons, those lying spirits. Father, thank you for our healing. Thank you for our deliverance. Father, thank you for removing obstacles out of our pathway. Thank you for chopping up the hard ground and the enemy had covered over so that your seed would not come into our soil, our heart. Say this, Holy Spirit,
come.
Take the place,
of
those evil spirits.
Of those evil spirits.
Come and rule.
Come and rule.
Reign.
Reign.
In those areas.
In those areas.
I give them to you.
I give them to you.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
These are your areas now.
These are your areas.
To rule and reign in.
To rule and reign in.
And when the devil tries to come back,
he
will see that you have produce victory, and that you live there now.
And you live there now.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
I thank you for it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We also want to bless the food.
Yes.
Thank you, Father. We just ask that you bless the food in the name of Jesus Christ. Bless the hands that prepared it. We ask that you cleanse it from all impurities in the name of Jesus. We ask that you bless it, make it healthy and nourishing for our bodies. And we thank you for the food in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Bon appetit.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.